Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Please be seated, and let's look to the scriptures together. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll read the first 15 verses. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he completes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding him of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. There we end the reading of God's word. Now, depending on the translation, the NIV doesn't translate it that way, Paul encouraged Timothy to be diligent in the scriptures. And I'm not preaching through this passage as much tonight as we're doing a word study on the word diligence. It's an aspect of Christ's character that is good for us to remember. He was diligent, and was no doubt difficult to be diligent. Think about it. When he was about 12 years old, remember how he went missing and his parents found him at the temple? And he was talking with the priest there, and they were amazed at how much he knew. They were learning from him. But he had to wait another 3 years. No, then he was only 15. He had to wait another 18 years before his public ministry began. It took patience and self-control. He was diligent to wait for the time to do things as they had been ordained. He was diligent in work that perhaps didn't seem that worthy. We're not told about his life much before his public ministry began. We know his stepfather Joseph was a carpenter. What did Christ do with his time before he began his public ministry? Likely he was a carpenter. Wasting his life on meaningless work. Well, I don't believe that statement, and I hope you don't either. I said it to be sarcastic, and maybe to remind some of you who see yourself caught up in meaningless work, that is not. Christ did the things that are necessary day to day to do. He earned a living. He supported himself, perhaps helping his mother, as we believe Joseph died somewhere along the way. We don't see him in the Gospels anywhere. And he didn't count it beneath him or worthless work. He was diligent with what the Lord put before him at the time it was before him, and he persevered. Another aspect of being diligent. Diligence is hard work, putting care and effort into what one does. Diligence is a good English translation of the Greek word sapudazo, but there's even more to the word. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, they only ask us to remember the poor, the very thing we were sapudazo to do. Only here it said eager. It wasn't that we were diligent to do, we were eager to do this. And see, diligence has the idea of being eager. Look at the difference it makes and how it blesses you. You have to do a task. Children, Your mom and dad say you got to pick up your toys, clean up your room, whatever it is. And you go, fine, I got to pick up my toys. This will take me forever. And you do it with a very poor attitude. You get no joy from the work you do. You find no pleasure in it because the attitude you choose to adopt robs you of it. What happens when we say, okay, I have this job to do, I'm going to do it. I'm thankful I'm able to do it. You know, there are some children and some adults who can't pick up because they're crippled in one way or another. There are some who are mentally limited and they're not able to figure out how to do it. And they wish they could, but they can't. If we want to look at it and find ways to be thankful that we can do this, to be grateful for the opportunity to work in the various ways we work, we can bring an attitude to our work that makes it a joy. When I fall into that point of view, and yes, I do fall into it, I sometimes approach a task I have to do with a chip on my shoulder and resentment for having to do it. Oh, I get it done. Not as well as I could have done it, because I'm looking to cut any corner I can. And when I'm done with it, I have no blessing from it. You've fallen into the same trap before. What were we lacking? We're lacking the idea of being diligent in the things we do. And what do? We rob ourselves. I still did the work. If I'd taken a minute and stopped and called out to Christ, Lord, my heart's in a bad place. I want to feel sorry for myself because I have to do this job. Boo-hoo. I've got no good reason to feel sorry for myself. I'm just in a bad place. Help me. God says he loves to hear those kind of prayers, and he reaches out, and he touches us, and he changes our hearts, and I can do the work that God calls me to do with a better attitude. But you know, that's not going to change tomorrow, the next day. Every day it's a battle. What heart will I bring to the things God asked me to do? You see, the scriptural idea is not just about hard work. It's about willing work, something we're eager to do. In fact, the idea of eagerness is such a part of the word. Look at how it's used in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Now, at that time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So translated haste here is eagerness, otherwise, sometimes diligence. She was in a hurry to go and visit, and she did everything she could to make that trip as fast as possible. So we're right to conclude that when God calls us to diligence, it's not just a matter of what we do with our hands, our heart has to be in it. When you read the Bible, this word diligence, understand all that it means. It's not just doing it, it's doing with a heart of gladness as unto the Lord. We should be quick to do our work, not quick to get through it, and we should do it to the praise and glory of God. It's something that brings a lot of change to our own hearts and the joy we experience in doing the things of life. You know, there's a lot of in life we can't get out of. There's just certain tasks you have to do. And if you're dragging your feet because you've got to do another load of laundry, it's going to be another load of laundry. And there'll be no joy or pleasure in it whatsoever. But if you seek God's grace, you can fix that next meal, do the car repair you have to do, get the grass cut, whatever it is, we've all got lots of things we do. And in the end, we can have that sense of satisfaction and joy that God intends us to have from our work. It's the heart we bring to it. Now I want to take a few minutes this evening and look with you at three areas of life where the scriptures particularly urge us to be diligent. Diligence is something that should be throughout our life, but some places are more important than others. And the first, as our text points out, is we should be diligent in the Word, in the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 15, it contains a great definition of diligence. It says in verse 3 that we should be willing to suffer hardship. Verse 4, we should be ready for service and keep the rules to win the prize. Paul sums it up in verse 15 by saying, be diligent to present ourselves to God as one who handles his word accurately. It takes effort. We are responsible to know doctrine. Know it's not just your pastor and your elders, maybe the deacons a little bit, and Sunday school teachers to understand doctrine. It's all of our job. You know, the doctrine of the Christian church is being assaulted every day. Why do we hold the positions we hold? Too many people in the church are growing up, they're hearing the, quote, wisdom of the world and being taken captive by it. Why do we hold the moral values that we hold? Why do we think it's wrong to live together? You should be married and not just live together. Well, half the population is living together. I know plenty of people who live together, and they're nice people too. I know people who live together and aren't married. An awful lot of them are nice people. And so the world would say, well, you want to say that they're all going to hell, aren't you? Because they can't just have a conversation, you know. They always have to screw up their face and be very hateful in the way they condemn you with things and push you into conclusions that you don't hold, but they try to push you there. Well, whether they go to heaven or hell isn't my choice. That's God's. Now, God has told us in the scriptures that we shouldn't be living together outside of marriage. And so, no, they are not living in the will of God in that part of their life. And we have to stand before God and give an account. And I don't want people to have to give that account and have no answer to give. So I warn them that this isn't something God wants them to do. I'm not trying to tell them that they're terrible people. I don't know if they're as bad as I am. I've got my own sins to worry about. Our position on homosexuality greatly assaulted today. Over and over, the modern way of looking at things is different than Scripture, and God says, you should be grounded in the Word so that you're ready when these attacks come. And people will try to twist you around and make you into something horrible. The first word out of people's mouths now, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're a homophobe. All kinds of attacks come at us. And because many people haven't studied these things out, haven't thought it through, they begin to doubt and wonder. And what about Christianity? It's just one of many religions. God isn't so tiny and narrow. As long as you're religious, he's happy. And so if you worship him as Buddha, or you worship him as Jesus, or you worship him as the creation, God's big enough to handle it. You know, it kind of sounds nice. But then those pesky passages come up. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's what Christ claimed about himself. Many reasons to be diligent in the Scriptures. So we should be eager and willing to put effort into learning what they teach, why we hold our positions. We should be willing to suffer and pay a price. And the time for that is coming more and more. Willing to stay ready for service, which means we should not allow ourselves to get caught up in sin. Willing to keep the rules, live life by God's direction. Psalm 119, verse 4 says, thou hast ordained thy precepts that we should keep them diligently. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9 encourages us to teach our children diligently. From the very beginning, God has called us to diligently keep his laws. He doesn't want us to be in the ballpark, somewhat in line with him, but to keep his word. God has graciously come to us and he said, I don't want it to be a mystery. I want you to understand what I created you for and how you can be living according to creation mandate and what I didn't create you for. I didn't create you to invent idols and worship them. I didn't create you to slander me, to take my name in vain. I didn't create you to disrespect your mother and father, or to steal, or to commit adultery, or to tell lies and bear false witness. Those things aren't hard to understand. We can be diligent in seeking to keep them. And part of being diligent is being honest when we fail, because we will. And then we go to God and we say, Lord, I was not diligent to keep your precepts. I know what you teach, but this is what I did. And we confess our sin and we seek his forgiveness. And he is gracious and will give it to us every time. Being diligent in the word is something that we should take strong attention toward and put effort and time into. But secondly, we need to be diligent in life. The scripture puts a lot of emphasis on this. To live your responsibilities. Proverbs 27 verse 23 says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herd. And there will be goat's milk enough for your food and for the food of thy household. Most of us aren't farmers or ranchers. I don't know if anyone here keeps goats or sheep. Maybe one or two do. Most of us don't. I do know some chicken keepers, and that tends to be growing. But even if you're keeping chickens, you got to be diligent. You got to make sure they have their food and water. You got to gather the eggs. You got to do all the work that's needed to be done. What are my herds? Well, I have to watch over my house. It needs maintenance, or the roof will leak. It needs painting, or the wood will rot. I have to take care of the car and make sure oil gets changed, things like that. Tires rotated, replace tires from time to time. There are different things you have to do to the things you own so that they run well, are kept up, and remain useful to you. Now, does everyone do that? Of course not. We all drive by houses that have been allowed to fall into great disrepair. We don't know the reason behind it. There's sometimes some understandable reasons. Sometimes it's just laziness. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. God is wanting to spare us a lot of trouble. Ladies, I don't know how many of you sow, but you remember the saying, a stitch in time saves nine. Now, what was that all about? Well, when the tear is small, get out your needle and thread and sew it up, because if you don't, it's going to be a whole lot bigger when you finally do get around to it, because you can't put it off any longer. And so as if you attend to the mending in a timely fashion, you save yourself work. When it comes to car repairs, listen to Auto Talk on Wood Radio Saturday mornings, and they'll say it every now and then, the cheap person pays twice. You try to get by cheaply with the repair, and you end up paying twice as much as you would have if you'd repaired it correctly the first time. It just doesn't work. Being diligent is good. And so as parents, children, we encourage you to put your toys away. Your bicycles and cars and playthings outside need to be put away from time to time. And we don't do that to be mean or nasty. We say, keep them out of the driveway, because we don't want to back the car over them because we didn't see them. But they get left in the driveway and the car gets backed over them and it damages the car, and of course it ruins the toy. There are reasons behind all of these rules that we have. In Proverbs 22, verse 29, it says, see thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before obscure men. Being diligent in our business, what an important thing. Taking our work seriously, putting effort into it. Not every job seems to have as much glory or merit to it as the next one. And whatever job you do have has its very boring aspects, parts that we don't like to have to do. And so we put them off. And that makes it harder to do when we finally do get around to it. And after a time, it affects us psychologically. Every time I think about doing that task, my heart kind of sinks and I'm going, oh, do I have to? That's the part I really don't like. And I train myself to be discouraged every time I even think of the task. Now, the Bible tells us we're in this battle. In Romans chapter 7, Paul says, the good that he would, he does not do, and the evil that he hates, he finds himself doing. He goes on to say that he finds a principle within him. When he would do good, evil's there to stop him. He takes up the same idea in Galatians chapter 5, and he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You may not do the things that you please. What is he saying? There are spiritual forces at work. The flesh wants you to be lazy. The flesh is out to destroy you. The flesh would be happy if you were so lazy you lost your job. The more miserable and the more damage the flesh can do to you, the happier it is. It is not your friend, but we listen to it. You don't really want to do that, do you? No. You shouldn't have to. Why is that your job? Well, you know you could do it tomorrow. Well, I have to do it. Oh, yeah. Just do it tomorrow. That's all. Just tomorrow. And you get on it first thing. But you don't need that today. Well, today is kind of heavy. Okay, tomorrow, but first thing. Except it's been 3 weeks I've been making myself that promise. And believing the lie. You would think after 3-4 days, I'd say, now wait a minute. I have fought this way the last 4 days, and I made myself a promise. I'm going to give myself a break and not make myself do it today, but tomorrow I'm going to get on it. Very first thing, I'm going to be eager to do it. I'm going to dive right in. And then the next day came, and my heart sank all over again. And that task, it seemed even bigger than it did the day before. And so I promised myself I would do it tomorrow again. I remember being in college and seminary. Every year, all those papers would be assigned. And my intention was, as soon as they're assigned, I'm going to get started. Why? Because I just finished up the last semester with the end of semester push. Finally getting busy with all the paper writing and everything you have to do because the due date is looming and you can't put it off anymore and you got all your late nights and you get it done, but it's not as well as you could have done it. And you're saying, I am disappointed in myself. You see, the joy that I could have had if I had been more diligent, I robbed myself of. I got it done, and I got it turned in, and I got a reasonable grade on it, but not what I was capable of. And so I tell myself, this semester, I'm not going to do that. But I did it. I stopped doing it. I graduated from seminary. Thankfully, I did learn how to not do that with sermons. You experience that a few times where Sunday morning is coming and they just haven't come together. You have that gun to your head a few times. You're going, no. First thing Monday morning, I'm in the office and I'm getting both of them started. And maybe it's the lessons I learned by not doing it with my papers that taught me the value of doing it with my sermons. We take care of the business God's given us, and we are blessed. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. When we do it quickly to get it done, quickly because the due date is here and I can't postpone it any longer, it comes back to hurt us. Jesus tells us he came to give us life. And he says, I've come that you might have it abundantly. And throughout the scriptures, he gives us wisdom how to live our lives in ways that will bring us lots of joy. Now, he doesn't send his angels to cut my grass at night while I'm sleeping so I can get up the next day and say, oh, I don't have to cut it. He could. He says, no, that's for you to do. Well, unless Peg does it for me. Yeah, which she sometimes does. I never complain about that. And He wants us to be blessed in these things. It's part of the abundant life of God's people. We can be wise. We can be wiser than the world. And we can have joys that the world will miss out on because they're not listening to the wisdom God has given. In Proverbs 10, verse 4, it says, "He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Yeah, if you're seeing how early you can check out at work, you're not going to get ahead. If you're seeing how little you can get away with doing and how much time you can spend standing around talking to your coworkers, you're not going to get ahead. You be diligent. You work hard. People notice that. They reward it. I want somebody in another position, a better position. One lady told me one time, her mother was a very unreasonable person. Made them work, gave them chores, and checked up on them, and made them do them very, very well. And there were strict consequences if you didn't do your jobs well. And she resented her mother. She was the oldest child. She got to leave first. She was so happy. She went off to college, staying in the dorms. But she had to work 15 hours a week while she was in college. You know, the work-study thing, 15 hours, not that much. And so she got put on a cleaning detail. And her supervisor came around and said, "You really know what you're doing, don't you?" "Oh, my mom made sure we knew what we were doing." "Well, you know, I need somebody who knows this to be the supervisor. So you're going to be my supervisor. I don't want you to clean. I want you to train all these other girls how to clean." She said, "When I went home for break, I went up to mother and hugged her and said, 'Thank you for making me work, because now I get to be lazy.'" Well, in a different sense. No, I'm not doing the sweeping and the mopping. I'm making sure it gets done. And she saw the value. Because she was faithful in these little things, God made her over greater things. Don't fail to see the point. God is not just telling us how to prosper materially in this world. Diligence to remain a part of our life must be centered in Christ. Only in Him can we sustain our eager, hard work, because discouragement sets in. We can work hard and projects don't turn out the way we thought they would turn out. Some of our plans fail, but if I've done them with a pure heart as unto the Lord, the value is there, whether the end comes about or not. Diligence in living out our faith is important. Because faith is not just about the things we believe. It's what we do day to day. It's behind what the Psalms talk about. Lift up holy hands to God. Well, it's not so much that I'm to lift up my hands when I come to God to worship Him. Come to Him with a life that has something to offer. Come to Him with a life lived to His glory. The third point is we have to be diligent in watching over our souls. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." I was talking earlier about the battle between the flesh and the soul. That's a real battle. You know, I talk to people and they'll say, "I wish I could be more diligent in my devotions." I said, "Well, do you understand why you're not?" And they said, "Well, no, I don't." "Have you ever thought, I should read my Bible?" And then another thought pops into mind. "Oh, but the toilet needs cleaning." And you choose to clean the toilet. Yeah, something like that's happened. What makes the toilet a better thing to do than reading God's Word? I don't know. It's the flesh. Anything you're going to do that has the ability to draw you closer to God, the flesh is going to push back and say, "Don't do it. You really don't want to do that." This is not words you will hear. It's something you'll feel and not be sure where it's coming from or how to understand it. But the battle with the flesh is a real thing. To watch over our hearts, to understand when my heart is whispering lies to me and when my heart is whispering truth to me, because it will do both at different times. Sometimes our hearts, the Spirit will prod us, remind us of duties, encourage us to reach out of our comfort zone and love others better than what we have in the past. Sometimes the flesh will try to stop any of that from happening, to recognize there's a battle. You're not going to hear this sermon and say, you know, Ken made a really good point about being diligent. I'm going to be more diligent. It's not that easy, because the flesh is going to say, forget everything you heard. Don't go there. Don't do that. You will try in one aspect or another. Maybe the Lord's convicting you of one area in your life, and you're saying, I've got to become more diligent on a lot of things, but this is a good place to really start focusing, because I know the Lord wants me to be more diligent in this. But the flesh is going to push back. You might have a day or two of victory, and then you fall back in the old habits. It will happen to you. Now, you can let that simply discourage you, or you can recognize, no, all right, dummy me, listen to the flesh again, and confess it to God and get back on board. That's why in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3, the prophet tells us, after going through many trials and disappointments, that God's grace is new to us each morning. All the failures of the day before, since they're wiped away, I'm here. New day. You're cleansed in Christ. You don't have to be held back by the way you failed yesterday or the day before or the day before or the year before. You can push on in your diligence, but you have to keep your heart to do it. You have to recognize there is a battle to fight. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 and following says, only give heed to yourself, and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. We keep our souls by passing on our knowledge and love of God to the next generation. And we keep our souls by living a Christian life, living our life for the glory of God. In Romans chapter 12, it says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Diligence in our walk with God, living out our religion and faith is what God calls us to. And I hope you'll walk away from the sermon tonight striving to be more diligent. And you'll see it as a good thing, not as something that's adding another burden to my life as though I don't have enough of it already, but something that if you get the biblical idea of diligence, you're going to have a lot more joy. You're going to have a sense of satisfaction and blessing. Because that's what happens when we serve God from our hearts. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful that you've given us this opportunity to meet with you and one another, to hear your word being read and preached. We pray that you use it for your glory. We worship you because you've been diligent. We sometimes hear theologians refer to Jesus as the hound of heaven who came seeking those who were lost, and he found them. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he was diligent to seek after us. Even now, as we've read in our text today, when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We thank you that he's interceding for us, that no one can snatch us from your hand. We worship you because you are a diligent God, intent on completing your purpose in our lives. Help us to show that quality in the works you call us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.